B Movies and Beyond. I'm Peter.
I'm Ryan.
And we are the hosts of this fantastic, universal, pleasing podcast.
I like it. It's very relevant of all things considered in cinema going on right now.
Oh, should I say multiversal pleasement? For your... We please the multiverses.
We please the multiverses. I'm down with that one.
Yeah. Well, hiya, Ryan. It's been a while.
Hiya, Peter. It's been a while. Actually, it's been, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You've seen my family members more than I've seen you.
I know. It's crazy. Actually got to touch one. It's crazy.
You touched one of my family members?
I did. Whoa. I got consent first, though.
So. Are you sure? That's a tough one.
I don't know. He put his hand out, and I put my penis in it. Maybe that's not what he wanted.
You got consent, so whatever happens...
That's right. Consent. Right? You put your hand out there. That's consent. You're asking for it.
You were just like, here you go.
Yeah.
And then you got...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Remember the kitchen table? It's just like a big old...
That's right.
Peter, it's good to see your face. One day I'll touch it.
Yeah, one day we'll do this again in person. You know,
what with my penis?
We'll bring both our penises there.
I won't forget mine.
That's okay. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Man, I'm excited. I didn't put too much for notes in trailers, but I think it's going to be fun because then we can go off on more tangents.
Yeah, and that's always my favorite thing in this podcast is basically just doing this.
Fucking suck.
Wrong one.
So you don't like the tangents.
Yeah, I don't love the tangents. Oh my gosh, that was embarrassing.
That's tomorrow. Wow. And that is it for us today.
Are you getting echoes?
Oh, this...
I have an echo.
Whatever it is, it's not right, it's not on, right a teleprompter. On a teleprompter.
It's not right.
I've never seen that.
Mm-mm.
There
it is.
We are going to do the sting, yeah.
Okay, but...
This is like a long one. I thought
there's no words on it.
I don't know how to control it either.
Oh, man.
There's no words there to play us out.
Oh, my gosh.
What is
happening? Ryan, you're messing up again.
Oh, man, I'm Taco.
I have to give you some credit. I finally got around to listening to the episode I missed, episode 276, with you and Brendan. And
oh, yeah.
I found it very entertaining, and there was no car talk, so I applaud you both for that. Yeah.
I think
that's when you lose me, is the car talk. I'm like, but yeah, you had some interesting topics, and what was really funny is that Brendan kept on keeping you on track.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I guess he's just there. He feels like he has to bring you in and keep the podcast moving forward.
Well, I set him up. I was like, bro, we got like an hour and we can knock it out. And then we could talk about cars. And like, I went to segments and he's like, okay, let's reel it back in. I'm like, man, I like that. That's awesome. You're solid.
Yeah, you went on the tangents, and he's like, let me get back to what we're talking about.
I think that's just a friend, and he wants the podcast. Like, I saw, spoiler alert, saw Doctor Strange with him on Friday, last Friday, opening day, and he was like, man, this is a good movie to really talk about. And I was like, well, when are you free to talk about it? So
it'll probably have to be you two again talking about it. So have at it, man. I think it'll be fun to listen to.
Maybe give it a little bit of a week and just like we could spoil it and just kind of open it up, whatever we want.
I can't listen.
I know, but today, spoiler alert, I'll give you a review of my thoughts on it because I've seen it twice.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
This is cool.
This is the multiverse twice.
So, man, this is going to get... We're going to get into the quick question. Why don't you hit that button, Ryan, so I can just... explain this.
I gotcha. I have so many questions! Sneaks up on you.
Yeah, thank you. So, I've been watching a lot of different TV and movies lately, you know, because I'm up, you know, pretty late now, and there's nothing else to do, right? I got a baby in one mm-hmm. arm, and I got a controller in the other hand. And, like, do you ever just get burnt out, like, or have fatigue on, like, it's just too much? Like everything I started putting on, like, I was just like, ugh, and I'd turn it off. Like, I could only watch, like, 10 minutes of it, and I would switch until I finally, like, all right, I'm just going to go to something that I know I really like, and I'm just going to watch that. And I'll just, like, I went to, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I just started that from episode one and just been watching that all the way through.
Well, now I know what your recommendation is.
It is true. Yeah.
It's always
funny. Do you have that? Is that just a thing? And I guess my other part too is just like, why does it happen? Like, is it because, like, I mean, I'm still watching something. Like, why am I not captivated by these other things?
Peter, this is a really good question, and I agree with you. I'm more so in TV series fatigue right now. Like, I'm at a point where I don't want to spend my nice summer days diving into a TV series. So I want to say it's like a winter hibernation, like a summer, spring kind of thing. Like, and maybe the studio should pay attention to this. Give me your best content fall through winter, and then just give me the kind of like, let's cycle it. Let's cycle all the TV stuff while I'm at home, and let's cycle the movies while I want to go see a movie in the movie theater. But I mean, the
isn't that what they do? I mean, it's kind of changed, but think about it. At least when I was growing up, man, like most TV series ran from the fall to like spring, and then it went to all the bullshit TV shows. You know, maybe you had a couple, like, you know, kind of cool stuff here and there. But for the most part, it was, like, the weird stuff. Competition shows, like Wipeout. What were some other weird things? But you didn't watch that much.
American Idol.
America's Got Talent. That's wintertime. That's not summer.
No, it's on right now, and it's, like, full swing. All those competition shows are in, like, the fullest swing right now. So it's hard to find something to watch.
Right. But then, for the movie side, though, you had the blockbusters. I mean, we just got into blockbuster season with your movie.
Right. But back to the TV side, where they're messing up, they're doing half seasons. So, and I think it's, for me, it started with The Walking Dead, where it was like, okay, we're going to start season 6, and then we're going to give you 6 episodes, and then you got to wait till springtime to finish it. So stop that. Give me all the episodes.
Hey, you got to give them a break. Come on, man.
No, they filmed it. Let it play out.
They take a little hiatus for a little bit, so they can, you know, it's like spring break for them or some shit. Or winter break. I don't know when to do it.
I was very vested in Moon Knight, but then past couple episodes, I was just like, I forgot it was on. And that's a fatigue I feel.
Yes, I had the same thing with Moon Knight. I did it with Halo. I did it, what are some other things? Oh, I was watching Lost in Space. Yeah, I was watching a few different series that, at least for some time, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then I just kind of lost, I don't know, I just lose interest really fast. It's weird. Halo, I did want to bring up that because you guys mentioned it on the last episode with Brendan. Does it just really suck?
Dude, I tried and tried and tried. And I think if you want to go back to that episode, I think it was the characters,
You're frozen.
Those three just took me out of the Halo around, like, annoying, bad haircut girl running around, and Master Chief is trying to save her. Meanwhile, like, Cortana's and Master Chief's creator was basically just controlling everything. And then this Indian bitch is just like, no, if you don't listen to me, we're not doing it. It's like, then what's the point of Master Chief? Why are you trying to humanize this guy? I don't know. It was stupid. It's not good.
I think it's...
Long story short, it's not good.
I missed a lot of what you said. You're frozen. Hopefully it comes out on the podcast. But it is boring. It is boring. I've tried to start it up a couple times now, and I just end up turning it off. Like, I cannot stand it. And I have no problem, like, humanizing Master Chief, but it's Halo. What do you expect in Halo? You want him to fight aliens, right? You can have humanizing parts in between. Like, yeah, like, the first episode I thought was amazing, and I was like, oh, this is, like, I'm into this. And then even the second episode, I was like, okay, all right. The third, and then it just keeps on going down and down and down, and, like, nothing is happening that's exciting, and I'm just waiting for that next, like, when's the next big action piece? Like, it's too far in between, and, like, the few little action parts that are in some of the episodes, like, suck. Like, it's not well done, and I hope, I mean, we already talked about how they have a new showrunner for the second season. Hopefully that...
Oh, they do.
Yeah, a new showrunner can maybe, you know, pick up the pace on some of this and right the ship, because I do think they have something there. They're just not executing it very well, and it's losing viewers right now. I don't know if I'll ever finish it.
Yeah, this isn't like Star Wars where I'll grind through stuff I don't like so I can complete it so I can see what the story is.
Yeah.
I would rather grind through a video game than watch the video game. Does that make sense?
No, I agree. Video games, again, you're in more control, so it's kind of more exciting than just, like, you know, you're not in control. So
if they had the same story with this, I even forgot where she came from, but this Asian girl who has a bad haircut is really annoying when she's screaming at you, I would turn off the video game and I'd go straight to GameStop and be like, I'm not buying stock in you guys and I hope you fail.
Are you sure? That's happened before. You just go and try to kill that character off, or you mute it. I don't know. There's definitely games where there's characters like, this is a dumb character.
She's a dumb character and she has turned me off from the Halo TV series. But back to your question.
It's just the writing. The writing's not good. It's not a... They're not what they did in the first episode. They're not continuing on with it, or at least it's taking forever to get to. So
everything right now, and this is the fatigue that I'm feeling, is everything feels like a very slow burn, and they're building and building and building, and then they just have this drop off. And did you and I talk about this where we saw it in the bubble, where it was like this build, 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 and then it was just like, okay, we're done. Or was that me and Jeremy? I think it might.
Well, I mentioned it. The Netflix movie, right? The Bubble? Is that what you're
right,
referring to?
Right, right, right.
Like, yeah, there's a big build, and then I felt like there was a little lull in the movie, and then it picked right back up, though. Is that what we're talking about? Yeah, that happens. But, I mean...
But it was just abrupt, and all these TV shows are doing this, and they're setting up for half season, and... I mean,
you
there's
your half seasons. So
I hate them. I like Ozark is back, and I forgot Ozark is finishing up. This I can binge watch Ozark right now, and I forgot because of the half season. You know,
yeah, I'm a couple like episodes in that one. I'm with you. I don't like that there's a little gap because I almost like you lose the momentum. And so it's taking me a little bit longer. Yeah, I'm losing. It's taking longer to finish Ozark, which this is what sucks. And this is a whole nother topic. It's just that you can't go on the fucking internet when these things come out, just like with with Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness is that I'm seeing so many little things, and I don't think they're really trying to give away anything, but it's too much. It's right in the titles where it's starting to ruin things. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, not to say.
And then your friends start sending like pictures in like group chats and all kinds of stupid stuff.
Yes, all kinds of stupid stuff. Like, and I'm not big
on... That was messed up, wasn't it?
I don't know what happened, but I'm sure you sent something.
Okay.
I think I did briefly look. You know, I think... yeah. Anywho. That was one, though. That was in... I quickly saw in one of the titles, like for Doctor Strange. Like, again, it's just little things where, like, what happened to when Spider-Man No Way Home came out, dude? And everyone was saying, don't say shit about this movie. And now it's the complete opposite with Doctor Strange. We're like, nah, fuck it. We don't really care. Like, it's so weird. I'm seeing shit.
It's the weekend rule. So I talked about this on Thursday because Brendan and I were gonna go see the movie, and I said don't spoil it. And we had our buddy Ryan as well, and he's been on the show. And he called me. He goes, dude, do you know what the big surprise is? I was like, Ryan, seriously, don't tell me, dude. And he goes, really? Out of you? Like out of anybody? You don't want to know? I was like, no, I'm with the internet right now. I know when I'm going to see this movie. I don't want to know anything about this movie. After the movie, I will be with the world and I'll spoil everything for Peter. And, you know, but I was off the internet for a while, but I think it's the weekend rule. I think the internet should shut everything down from premiere till Sunday. And then after Sunday, let it all out.
I mean, I personally wanted a little bit longer than that, but like Monday afternoon. I felt like with Spider-Man No Way Home, they waited a long time. Like, I don't remember seeing I remember seeing articles, but not with giving shit away in the title, like that I'm seeing with Doctor Strange. So, and then same thing with Ozark. I've been seeing the same stuff where, you know, it's not quite, you know, it's giving away little pieces. Like, I still have no idea what overall, like, this, how Doctor Strange is going to play out or Ozark, but it's enough to make me start, like, thinking about it and making up some weird conclusions where I might ruin the show or the movie for myself. So it's really on me, but I'm still pissed off at the internet. So, anyway, what were you talking about?
Well, you know, Peter, that was a nice long rant you got going on there, but what we really got to do is get to the meat and potatoes of this podcast over here. And what that starts with is...
Ah, is this the meat or is this the potatoes?
I think this is the potatoes. Like when you eat the dinner, like do you pick around your meat first and then you eat all the stuff? You take a little tidbit and a bite of everything else to flavor it up, and then you're like, all right, I'm gonna go into the meat, and then I'm gonna go to the sides. Actually, that's how the way that we structure this podcast is how I eat my food.
Wait, so you eat all the sides first and then you go to the meat?
Well, we have the main entree and then we have the side. So like same at Cheddar's, and I get like a steak and chicken tenders with broccoli and cheddar and mac and cheese and a salad. I'll pick at all the other stuff and then I'll take a couple slices of the steak, then I'll finish the steak and then go back to the sides.
Okay, I gotcha. Makes perfect sense. So we're in trailers, and mm-hmm. I think the biggest probably trailer that came out, well, depends on who you're asking, right?
Not me.
Yeah, Avatar, the Way of Water teaser trailer was released, and I gotta say, I don't know. I wasn't interested in it at all. Not excited for this coming out in December. I mean, I don't know if this is bad to say or wrong to say, but I hope it flops. But I also get kind of pissed off because I saw some articles already saying that this thing looks amazing and way better than Doctor Strange. Like I was like, are you kidding me? That's what you got from this trailer? I thought this trailer just looked boring and too long already from a teaser trailer. Looks too long.
I saw this trailer last night, and I went with Jeremy, and Jeremy likes to interrupt me during trailers, and he said the best quote about this trailer. He said, the movie producers were in a studio all together, and they said, what's the most difficult thing that we cannot accomplish with CGI? And James Cameron said, hold my beer. It's water.
Actually, I think CGI does water very, very well. I mean, think about it. When you're playing a video game, what's one of the most, like, probably realistic things in the video game?
It doesn't translate in movies that well. When the entire world is... No, dude, fire and all the other elements. However, water, to me, it just looks fake and it looks like a video game. It makes feel like I'm in a video game.
Fire looks totally fake with the CGI fire because they put fire on people and you can almost see where they put it. They superimpose it on a person.
Dude, Jeremy said fire too, but I don't know. It looks like a video game. It doesn't carry. Okay, Peter, why go see the original Avatar?
Why the 3D, the visuals?
Right, 3D. Right, this one's not going to be 3D. So why would I care about this movie? No. When's the last time you saw a 3D movie?
I know. I was just thinking about that. They're not doing that? I thought someone said Doctor Strange was in 3D at some theaters. No.
Nope. Didn't see it. Wasn't even an option. I don't even think they have the little caboodles where they hand you the 3D glasses anymore.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
I don't know. I'm not interested. I agree with you. I think this should flop. I don't need this universe. I'm not interested.
I agree. I mean, nothing on that trailer made me excited to see it. I just thought, well, that looks just boring, and I don't want to see these blue people. So,
yeah, I'll it's Ferngully.
Yeah.
And I'd rather watch Ferngully.
That's true. And what I really want to watch is there was a new trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi, which... Dude, I am so pumped for this. And you and Brendan were talking about, like, can it live up to its hype? And I think it can and it will. I think they've learned from The Mandalorian, from Book of Boba Fett. Like, I think they're learning, and I feel like this is a great story because this is going back to a character, the thing that most of us was a bright light in the prequels was Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, and continuing his story on through kind of like what's happened, you know, after Revenge of the Sith and before New Hope. Like, I think that's a fantastic story to tell, and I think there can be a lot of cool dynamics through it. And so far, just from the trailers, it looks badass, and so I am very excited for that.
I wasn't sold after the couple trailers we saw prior, but I'm getting there, and I think this is the last one I want to watch. That's it. I'm done, Disney. Do not give me any more. Does this say it's the final one? No, it's Darth Vader reveal, so we'll probably get another one.
Yeah, probably. It's just how they do. But I'm with you. I don't think I need to see any more. Like, you got me hooked. I'm going to watch it come, May 27th? You know, maybe a day or two after, but I'm in.
I'm in. How about this one, Peter? Weird Al?
Yeah, Yankovic. Weird.
Story?
Weird.
Pod. Weird.
The Al Yankovic story. With Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, as Weird Al himself. I'll watch it.
I'll watch it too.
So here's I don't know anything about Weird Al, and I'm kind of curious about how he got his start. Like I think that can be very interesting. And the only thing that's kind of weird to me is just watching Daniel Radcliffe, because it, you know, I didn't get the sense, like, you know, when they did Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, like when they did that movie and you saw Rami Malek or whatever his name is, like, I feel like, holy shit, like, you don't even really see him. Like, he looks so much like him. And when I see Daniel Radcliffe, I'm like, I just see Daniel Radcliffe with, like, curly hair. Like, this is weird. You know, I don't see Weird Al in him. But hopefully, you know, when it comes out, and I think this is it coming to the Roku channel?
Yeah. How am I going to watch this? I don't have Roku.
I have Roku. You can come over and we can have a watch party.
maybe we'll solve one of our episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. We can record live. But like, I don't know. I want to know more about him, and I think this will be the perfect way to do it. I hope I can look past Daniel Radcliffe and see Weird Al. You know, I hope it's not a distraction the whole time.
Daniel Radcliffe is in this realm of, he's been typecast immediately. Like, he will always be Harry Potter, and that sucks.
Typecast as Harry Potter. Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to call him that, but I don't know. Like, dude, I think he's done a good job since Harry Potter. His own weird stuff.
No, I agree with you. He's a fantastic actor, and I think that's the biggest problem. Like, people had this problem with Robert Pattinson. Besides Twilight, he's a great actor, but you can't get past that he's a sparkly vampire. Some people can't get past that Harry Potter's Daniel Radcliffe, and it's just like, how do you get beyond him being a muggly moo?
For me personally, I'm past that. Again, is it bad that I just keep on calling him Harry Potter and I call Robert Pattinson Twilight? You know, like, that's just, it's something that they did that they're forever going to stand out for, but it does not stop me from, like, seeing their other movies. And, like, I know now, like, I probably more relate to or how I view these actors, like Daniel Radcliffe. I look at him as, like, he's kind of a comedic guy. Like, he's a really funny guy, and he likes to do these oddball movies. And I like that about him. And so that's how I really view him. Like, I get actually excited when I see that he's involved with something, because I think it's going to be pretty hilarious. And then with Robert Pattinson, he's the opposite. The guy is a super serious guy, and everything that he does, I'm like, this is going to be some indie film, basically, unless he's doing Batman, which he still, I mean, he went down like the indie emo route, you know? I don't know. They'll forever live on as you play this dumb character, Harry Potter, and this dumb vampire. But I look way past that, and I acknowledge their fantastic acting and their styles. They each have their unique styles, and I enjoy both of them. So,
well, they need to do films like this where it takes them out of that character and then into another character. So hopefully we get a Weird Al Yankovic universe.
Well, yeah, and I think this is right up Daniel Radcliffe's alley. It's just, when I see him, I don't see Weird Al. I see Daniel Radcliffe. And so that's the hard thing with that. And this could be with any actor. Unless you nail the actor, you know, and who can just absolutely be that person, take on the essence, you know, and portray that, where you totally forget who it is. Like, you know, it just happens. You know, it's really tough to, especially when you're playing a real life person, man. Either people really love, you know that person, and they'll be like, no, that guy doesn't look anything like him. He's not acting like him at all. Or they're going to be like, damn, he nailed it. And I felt like that was the real character. So
it remains to be seen. So the complete opposite of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think, Nick. I feel like Daniel Radcliffe nailed being Harry Potter, even though it's not a real person. Like when I imagine Harry Potter, it's him, right? It's not like kind of what the books look like. And I didn't read the books either, by the way. He's Harry Potter.
Are we the first podcast in the universe where both the hosts have not read anything Harry Potter?
I tried. It's just not for me. I also tried Twilight, and that was really not for me. I got through like the first like three chapters of that first book when like what's her face? Kristen Stewart like starts staring at Twilight and in the bio class or whatever and fell in love instantly. Like that's what stopped me from reading that book.
You're like, this is lame. Yeah, Harry Potter is like, in my mind, I was like, this is a bunch of kids. Like, why am I following a bunch of kids right now? I don't know.
It was so much drama, too. Like, and not, it wasn't good drama to me. Like, I just, like, I don't care what they're doing. Like, I want to see magic and, like, fighting and shit. You're just giving me all this weird drama between kids. I don't care about that shit.
I don't care about that at all. You know what?
Yeah.
We got one more trailer. Unhuman? Is that how you say it? Unhuman?
Unhuman.
Unhuman.
Yeah.
I like unhuman. Unhuman.
Yeah. Unhuman.
Unhuman.
Yeah.
It's a very foreign film from America where these kids are on a bus and then they crash and then they were talking about like a chemical spill and zombies is what I got gathered. Am I far off?
I don't know if there was a chemical spill, but yeah, there's yeah.
I saw lots of red in the windshield, and then they said, "Oh, something chemical." Yeah. And so I put two and two.
I thought it's either vampires or it's zombies. Which I think you're right. I think it is zombies. Now that I think about it, which is cool. It's, you know,
when are we gonna get zombies?
I was listening to a podcast, and they asked, can vampires turn into zombies, or zombies turn into vampires? What do you think?
Dude, that's a whole nother episode.
I know. Maybe we should hold off on that. Something to think about. Ponder that until next time.
back pocket that one for sure. That's okay. A good one.
All right. But I think this movie looks fucking fantastic and kind of like B movie-ish, right? So
yep, B movie-ish.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally on board.
Peter, you know what else we got?
More potatoes?
More potatoes. Potatoes.
Potatoes. That's good. You know what? I didn't find too much, but I think this is fine. You know, let's just cruise through this, talk about what we want, and get into the meat. This first part, though, this first piece of news, I just saw this on Twitter about DC thinking about replacing Ezra Miller as the Flash with Dylan O'Brien, which I like Dylan O'Brien a lot.
I love Dylan O'Brien. No homo.
Yeah, no. and I think he'd be a great replacement. And I know they're saying, like, I think WB is saying, like, no, they're not replacing him, like, in the Flash movie, because I think that movie's pretty much done. Like, that would take a lot of stuff. And you know, I just think it's not necessary. You don't need to like superimpose like Dylan O'Brien redoing everything and just on a green screen, you know, like don't pull a, what was that movie with Chris D'Elia? It had Chris D'Elia. Army of the Dead, right? Army of the Dead. I don't think they needed to do that. Yeah. It's just, it wasn't necessary. And I think this would be replacing, you know, the main character who plays multiple other characters. That'd be so much work to reshoot the whole movie, the Flash movie.
Well, best thing about the Flash right now, and without diving into it too much, but this is what multiverses are made for. This is, they can make this Flash movie, and then they can rewrite everything with the same story but a different character and throw it in a different universe. So Marvel has done this. I'm just trying to think if I'm. They have done this with WandaVision. WandaVision is where they did that. And they did it with her brother. So they're able to bring in these characters and rewrite the actors and put different people in there and just say it was the. And I think if they're going to do this, then let's write Ezra Miller out right now. Be done with that Flash. And guess what, dude? Mosa and Gal Gadot. And that's it. And then DC can write another universe.
So, I don't know if WB, like in the DCEU, really knows what they're doing.
They never have.
But so I like this piece of news. I think that'd be a great casting choice. I care less if you continue on with Ezra Miller. I just feel like here's the thing: you got Will Smith, you know, potentially kind of losing stuff or at least postponing things because of this whole slap on the Oscars and everything. And then you got Ezra Miller, who's threatening to murder people.
It's a bit different. And choking them.
Yes, and choking them. I think throwing chairs at them, was that another thing? Like, some big differences. And if this guy doesn't get replaced, like, there's something wrong in Hollywood. And now, I told you, I'm totally, I understand why they would not replace him already on the Flash movie, because so much has been completed, and probably already that movie's probably sucked up so much of their dough. And so I get it. Do you think, though, with that, with Ezra Miller still being in there, is that going to affect its profitability?
I'll go see it.
I will too.
Yes, I think so, because I think people are having a DC ECU. I don't even know what it's called. DC EU fatigue, because fans don't know what DC's doing. DC doesn't know what they're doing, and they're just like, they're just trying to pump out content, and it's not good. Like, Aquaman was not good. Wonder Woman 1984 was not good. The first Justice League, not good. Like, and dude, Superman, he's the golden boy of comic books, and he has not made a good movie.
Well, I don't know. And this is why I say I don't think Warner Brothers and DCEU knows what they're doing, is because I totally see them replacing Ezra Miller, and that could potentially be weird, but they do have a great, like you mentioned already, they got a great opportunity to kind of do it in the right way by, you got this Flashpoint, man. You got this multiverse thing. It's very easy to just kind of bring him from somewhere else and be like, here's your new Flash, you know? And then the other thing on top of that, though, is the fact that they're still doing more movies with this Snyderverse characters, even though you got kind of like the Batman's done with it, kind of. You got, you know, potentially you're going to have to already recast Ezra Miller. You know, that's gone. As far as I know, I don't think there's any thought of doing a Cyborg movie right now. This thing is just, it's petering out. It's exploding. It's just kind of like, well, let's just try to capitalize as much as possible, and then as soon as people don't go see it, well, just start from scratch again. But you have all these weird movies. You got Aquaman 2 coming out. You got another, I think, Wonder Woman 3 that's supposed to happen.
Why are you booing me?
The Flash. Am I missing one? And you kind of have Shazam, who's kind of in that universe, but you could easily fix the Shazam. They could just be its own separate thing, which I hope that's what they do come the next, you know, like the next movie where like they don't reference anything. But then you have what else? Then you got Peacemaker in that universe. Like, I don't know what's going on with it. Like, they want to, like, it's dying, but at the same time they're trying to keep it alive. And there's some little things that are like, oh, that's really cool and keep it alive, but some of the bigger pieces that they're capitalizing on, that's what's falling apart. Like, what are they gonna do?
I agree with you. I don't think they know what they're doing. So, I'm in for the train wreck.
Yeah, I know. It's fun. We're just gonna watch it burn, right?
Yeah, I am. You know, I thought Marvel was gonna be the one to mess up their multiverse BS, but they're not doing a bad job at it. And
it's, you know, where I
playing out. So,
yeah, I think they're doing the multiverse part, but they had this whole other aspect with these Celestials, and now with this whole like Egyptian god things, and these, like, you know, the Black Knight and all that. That seems very confusing to me, and I don't know where they're going with this with Marvel. Like, you mentioned Moon Knight, how you kind of lost interest, and I watched the whole series, and I gotta admit that, like, episodes like 1 through 3, I think I was pretty on board. Even maybe 4 and 5, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. The final episode though, I was like, okay, now I really don't care. Like, the mental issues and having that aspect of the show, I think, is really cool. The actual Moon Knight and the Egyptian gods, not that cool. Yeah.
Peter, what's this other piece we got here?
Oh, well, we talked about a trailer. Wormwood, Apocalypse. Apocalypse?
Apocalypse.
Yeah, and that director, from going from those that movie franchise, Kaya Rochi Turner, I think he's Australian. So forgive me if I pronounced that wrong. I probably did.
But you don't have to say something.
Okay. I love that his next big film that's coming out, or I don't know if you call him big, but the next thing that he's taking on is about a giant killer spider called Sting. And I am totally on board for that. I like these premises. I'm pulling up the article right now. Give me a second here. But here's the synopsis, and this is what I like about this, is because just like Wormwood and that movie was just so out there and so weird, and it makes it amazing. Here's what this new movie, Sting, is called, with a giant spider, it's called, or here's the synopsis. Charlotte, a rebellious 12-year-old girl obsessed with comic books, who discovers a strange little spider after it falls from the sky encased in an egg. Despite her stepfather's best efforts to connect with her and with a new sibling in the picture, Charlotte feels isolated and bonds with the spider. She keeps it as a pet and names it Sting. But as the spider begins to grow in size, its appetite for blood becomes insatiable as neighbor pets start to go missing. When her family and members of the building she lives in becomes trapped and hunted by the hungry spider, Charlotte is the only one who knows how to stop it. Like, doesn't that sound fucking fantastic?
That does sound pretty cool.
Yeah. So, and
is this out?
No. This is his next movie that he's doing. After he just did the Wormwood
Apocalypse
movie. Yeah. Apocalypse. Yeah. So, I don't know. It just sounds like a fantastic thing. Right now, this guy, Kaya, man, like, I'll go see anything that he directs, because I like his style and you know, his you know, the types of movies he likes to make. Like, they're just so out there that I find them very entertaining. So I can't wait. So who knows when that will come out, but I'm ready.
Do you feel it in your loins?
Yeah, I feel it in my meat. Speaking of meat.
We're almost getting to the meat, which is pretty cool.
That was my segue. Did you get it? Did you hear it?
Oh.
Reviews with our meat mouths.
With our meat mouths. That's going to be coined. I want that as a shirt. I want, like, just this gnarly looking hamburger looking mouths, like with a comic bubble that says B movies and beyond.
I like it.
It's recorded. Peter, you first or me first?
You know, you, why don't you go ahead? Take it away, man. You got the big movie for the week. Why don't you go ahead and go first? Let's not keep our listeners waiting.
All right. I saw Ambulance with Jake Gyllenhaal, and what was weird is it turned into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which I shortened it up on the thing called, and it's just going to be Doctorverse Mom.
Doctorverse Mom?
Doctor Strange verse Mom. And I could do that because that's what this movie was about. Just righting wrongs and making more wrongs. And it doesn't matter if you're right. So,
and moms?
And moms, yeah. And this movie had a lot of moms in it. So,
did it really?
Yeah. Actually, the whole premise of the movie was behind being a mom.
No way.
100%, dude.
Wow.
I won't get too into the plot of what this is because this Marvel's been setting up Phase 4. For Phase 5. I feel like this is a bridge phase. This is one of those, hey, let's kind of sprinkle out some characters. Let's see if they stick. If they don't, then we're just going to give you a little bit more gravy on your steak. The steak hasn't come yet. This right here is like the ham that's right next to the turkey on Thanksgiving. So, but Disney's done it right. I said it earlier. The multiverse is being done well. And what I really liked about this Doctor Strange movie versus the first one is the first one, Doctor Strange was learning who he was. And he wasn't much of a comic book character. He didn't really have, like, action scenes, or he didn't really portray being an action star. In this one, he's a comic character. He does comic scenes. He has fights. He uses his powers. He understands how to do it, and he involves everybody around him. Sam Raimi, this is the perfect, like, I think what happened in the meeting was Disney was like, all right, we got you, Sam. We want to bring someone in and just say something, and they brought Sony. And Sony came in and said, hey, we gave Spider-Man to Disney, but part of that was we had to say sorry because we fucked you over. So go ahead and make whatever you want with Doctor Strange and have fun. And he had fun, dude. This is a Sam Raimi. And like Jeremy, in the middle of the movie, goes, am I watching Spider-Man 2? And I said, yeah, pretty much. Because it feels like a Sam Raimi action movie. Like the New York scene, it feels like a set. It's eerie. It's scary. Dude, he has Danny Elfman as his composer. So, like, I'm sitting there watching this. I'm like, this has a Batman vibe to it. This has a Spider-Man 1 and 2 vibe. Like, this reminds me of the early, like, non-universal comic book movies that came out. But it is the most universal comic book movie to be released.
Yeah.
If you're going to go into this movie expecting cameos galore, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to like the cameos, but if you're expecting like, oh, I saw this guy, or I saw this guy, or here's this Easter egg, here's that. Nah, I didn't really get that out of this movie. What I got was like an actual concrete story and a means to an end. So,
Yeah, so that was what I was curious about was, I have no idea what this story is and exactly what they're trying to accomplish with it, or even who the bad guy is. And I think, to be honest, that's probably for the best. Like, this is why, like, I'm a little bit upset about the whole, you know, internet saying too much, because I, for once, I really have no idea what this movie is about. All I know is that he's going to be going into, like, different multiverses, but I don't know why and how it's going to play out at all. Like, I didn't get any inkling through the trailers for this movie. And that's what I was going to ask you, was just like, I mean, I guess you already answered it. You said it's a solid concrete story, and that's what I was concerned about. I thought it was probably going to be a mess. I honestly thought that, how can they piece this together and have him go through all these different, you know, multiverses and have it a complete story? You know, like, that was the one thing I was concerned about. So I'm really happy to hear that it is a concrete story. So,
yeah. And as I said, like, if you're expecting cameos or if you're expecting this, okay, they are going through multiverses, but it's more of an explanation and a reason why they're going versus, like, just little quick jumps into all these different multiverses. You get the idea that it's doable and it's accessible, but it's not overdone.
Yeah.
And I think that was a lot of people's concerns, like, oh, they're going to be going through this universe and jumping through this and this and this, and they're going to go through like 90 different universes, and we're going to get clips of this, and it doesn't happen in this movie. But the reason why they go through their multiverses makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad I saw it a second time, because the first time I was just like, what? I was more like Joe Rogan when he saw that punch in UFC and he was like holding his buddies. I was like, oh my God, you know, because I was so excited to see who was popping up in this multiverse versus why they're there. So the second time around, I understood why they were there, what it meant to Doctor Strange, and I mean, how he utilizes his powers. He's so good at being a comic book character that translate to film using comic book powers.
Nice. So they introduced a new character, America Chavez?
America Chavez. Right? She is very pivotal to this movie.
Okay. Was it a good introduction? I mean, like, I'm always concerned, you know, like, sometimes you can totally do it wrong and maybe just shoehorn in a character, or maybe you don't quite get the introduction that maybe that character deserves. And so do you think they did a good job with this one? And do you think is it going to be a character that's going to live on, or is this going to be like one of those, like, eh, let's just push her off to the side?
First and foremost, she's in the very first scene of the movie. Mm-hmm. And she is in the entire movie. So
she's the mom?
She's not the mom.
I know who the mom is.
Yeah. But the mom very much relies on her. So that's where the story contrives of them going through the different multiverses. Do you know anything about America Chavez's power?
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I really, like, Marvel is starting to bring in a lot of characters that I know very little about. Like, I didn't know anything about Moon Knight. And I went and started researching a little bit more of that. And I like that. But at the same time, I'm having a hard time, like, how are they going to play the bigger picture in this universe? Like the first, you know, couple phases, I got it. I was like, okay, I see how they all fit together. Right now, there's just so much shit out there for Marvel that I don't see the big picture. And I'm sure Kevin Feige it's probably all mapped up on his vision board and everything, but I'm losing it. And I don't know what's going on, because I just feel like they have so many different things cooking and I don't know how it's going to play out. So
I'll give you a little idea about America Chavez. Based off Wikipedia, her abilities are superhuman strength, speed, longevity, durability, flight, Star portal creation, star blast, interdimensional travel, and time travel.
Holy shit. Now I understand why she's in this movie.
She's going to be in Marvel's movies for quite some time.
Okay, yeah, that seems like it's a pretty big power.
She has, like, all the powers, basically.
Wow. I don't like that. Okay, but whatever. My other question was there any cameos that caught you off guard that blew you away?
Yes.
Was there? Okay. You don't share, but I'm happy to hear that because I want some surprises. Hopefully they weren't already ruined by the internet, but I think I know some, but whatever.
There was three of them that initially were like, whoa, that's cool. They went there and it was a nice little fan service. And then the other two, you're kind of like, huh, who are those guys? But no, the other three or the other number of them, they're there, but Marvel's done a very good job of leading up to why they're there. So this is a good movie to blend between film and television. This is blending What If, this is blending WandaVision, this is blending so many different shows. So it's creating a universe within a comic book scenario. So
is it tying it together all nicely, or is it just taking those plot lines and almost putting it into the movie?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's because, like, I gotta say, like, when I was watching the trailer, I was like, man, this seems like there's a lot of What If in this, like, from certain episodes of the What If. And I didn't like that because I was like, no, do something different. And I mean, it sounds like, okay, they're taking those things, but probably maybe expanding on it, or, you know, still, I don't know, making it cool. It doesn't seem like you're disappointed at this at all. So
I will give you, I'll give you one piece of this movie. And this was brought from Nate, our friend Nate, who likes to listen and be on the podcast. And why I picked this comment in a little bit of a spoiler is he was so passionate about why it's not this. So he basically gave me three reasons why he was perturbed by this. The other two I'm not going to tell you, but this one. The MCU is not the 616 universe. In this movie, they say that Doctor Strange's universe, the one that we've been watching, is the 616 universe, which is the main timeline in comic book land, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I asked him, I was like, why? And he goes, dude, the MCU doesn't follow the comic book timeline exactly, so how is it the 616 universe? And I thought that was a really good point. I'm like, okay, if they're trying to create this universe based off the comic books, then it should be comic accurate, right?
Well, it's never been that way, though. After the Iron Man, it wasn't that way.
Exactly. So that's his argument, that this is not a 616 universe. And I, in a way, I actually agree with Nate on this one. I think they should have created a different number so we can have this MC universe, whatever that is. So kudos to you, Nate. Thanks. Give us a like and subscribe and lick the button.
Yes. I agree with Nate. Very wise, Nate. Any other final thoughts on Doctor Strange and versus Mom?
Doctor Strange versus Mom, you need to go see it if you're going to continue watching the rest of the MCU.
I mean, it's on the list. I'm going to go see it eventually. I just don't know when.
This is one of those. It's not like the Eternals, like where you could pass on the Eternals.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just watch the stingers kind of.
Yeah. And it,
Cool. I do really want to go see it. I guess my last question, Ryan, do you think it needs to be watched in a movie theater, or is this fine to watch at home?
Peter.
Yeah.
Go watch it in a movie theater.
I don't know if I can, but I'm just...
The sounds are... dude, Danny Elfman and Sam Raimi, like, they play to their strengths as a director and composer working together, and you see and hear those hints in full Dolby sound. And, you know, Doctor Strange does his whole, like, warping of the world. So it looks like Time Watch gear or something like that. Like, seeing that in the big screen and hearing the music with that kind of sound system, it's pretty epic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not like The Eternals, where you don't have to see The Eternals in a movie theater.
I have to see that movie, period. So, all right, I'll make a point. You can only watch this at home, by the way. I watched Choose or Die, and for as much as the fatigue that I've been having, and this is why it's so weird, Ryan, and I don't have an answer for this fatigue, because it's random.
I feel you, dude. I get it, though.
Yeah, but this is a movie where, like, I watched it throughout, man. Like, the other thing that I've been going through with movies is that I fall asleep through all of them.
You're doing what I do.
Yeah, I didn't fall asleep through this one at all. Well, I think I did have to take a break, but because I took a break, though, I came back and I finished it. Which is kind of weird, because I'm not going to say this is, like, the best movie ever. But it's definitely entertaining. It's very entertaining. Choose or Die on Netflix. It is. We talked about the trailer here, but it's about like a computer game, and like an old school one, like, you know, the green screens. Like, it's like DOS. You know, it runs on DOS.
I like this
So I'm just reading. Oh, they say, I guess it was made in the 80s, I guess, is when it came out. It's an 80s survival horror game that they're playing. It's called Cursor. And all it does, you're just reading what's going on, and then it asks you questions on, do you want this or that, or this thing to happen, or this thing to happen? And then if you don't, then you got to pick one. Otherwise, it will start getting really mad and typing in there, choose or die, choose or die, you know, with words. And this kind of has a Ring type vibe. There's a lot of different, like horror movies kind of blended into this one. You know, you got the video game aspect, which, like, there's been a handful of video game movies where, you know, something happens and the video game, like, kills you, basically. That's this. Or you have a option like, you know, would you rather, you know, like, do you take this challenge versus this challenge? It has that aspect of it. And then it has the, you know, the Ring aspect, where that entity wants to be unleashed on the world, right? Get in as many hands as possible. That part of it. And so this movie starts off, like, right with this, like, this weird family, you know, seem very odd. And, like, this guy's in his basement, the father, and he's just playing this game for whatever reason. And then it starts going into, like, the choose or die. And it starts off, like, eyes or ears, basically. And he picks, and it's, like, it implies that it cuts out his son's tongue. That's how the movie starts. And then it kind of goes into the little credit intro thing, and it shows that this video game had its player make tons of copies and send it out to the world, basically. And one of these copies ends up in this girl's hands. What's her name? Iola. And, you know, down on her luck, girl, she comes apart, comes with it. Issa Butterfield, he's in it as well. Oh, Robert Englund's in it.
Oh,
you don't actually see him, but he is the voice. I think he's the voice of the game.
That makes sense.
Yeah. No. Sorry. He's the voice of this, like, curator or this thing, because the game comes with this number that you call, and it says, like, all right, play this game, and if you win, you get, like, a prize, basically. And it's like, well, that's really interesting. And so they start this Iola starts this game, starts getting crazy, and you're going through different levels, you know, and just keeps on escalating and escalating and escalating. And, you know, what's great about this is that nothing's really off limits with these types of movies because it's so far-fetched already. Right. And so they would go and, like, you would almost go into the video game kind of at times, but it wasn't quite that. Like, but, like, things, the outside world was affected by this video game. So, like, the video game could control other people. It could make them do unwanted things. That's controlling. It could also manipulate your mind to make it see that you're, like, in some other reality as well.
Sure.
And I thought they did a nice job with all that, where I was on board for it all. There was only one time that I thought, like, it was kind of weird, kind of lame, with one of the kills was basically just videotape coming out of someone's mouth.
Yeah.
So that was an odd one. I thought that was a weird death. But besides that one death, the rest of the elements and the interactions with the video game and controlling people were very entertaining and, you know, I would almost say disturbing at times, too. And this movie, man, like, it had everything. It had kids attacking adults that I always find is kind of creepy. I mean, I already talked about the videotape coming out of mouths. There's the mind control. There's a weird play on, like, of a boss battle, which I thought was actually very entertaining and kind of cool to play out. Like, they're very creative with their, I mean, you definitely tell it was a lower budget film, and they're very creative on how they did the plot and the kills on this. So
that's all you can ask for, is they get creative with the kills. You know, that was kind of the movie X. That was my biggest concern, is the kills weren't creative, in my opinion.
Yeah, that one, like this skewer thing through the eye, like, that wasn't very creative at all. Like, I understand what you're saying on that. Like, go back to that episode, or the second review episode, where I talk about what I did like about it. Because there was parts that I thought they were creative enough or brutal enough that set it apart. There's also parts where, like, you know, like, you know, like, we did too much on that one. We're going to keep this one simple. And this one, I just felt like the kills were just related to, like, all right, what can we do with our budget constraints and still make it interesting? And I thought they did a nice job with it. So
nice.
You know, it's nothing extreme, nothing over the top, but it's entertaining. And I think you go along, you know, you're in for the ride. At least I was. So Choose or Die on Netflix.
I like that Netflix is doing, they're doing films like this. They're doing more of, like, a kind of B-rated campy horror kill movie.
Yeah, and I feel you can't go wrong with them, man. No. Like,
something so you want to sit at home and watch and be vested in. You watch the entire thing without falling asleep or anything. So this is the kind of content that streaming needs to help you fix your fatigue. Exactly. TV shows. Yeah. It doesn't need to be a series. It doesn't need to be anything else. This is just like a good old, like, Robert Englund.
Yeah.
Slasher.
And that's why I think what it is, Ryan, is it's not, I don't know if it's so much fatigue. It's just that I need something that's fast paced. I can't, like, I've watched so much. I need something that's going to go quick. And this movie goes quick. It's a well paced movie. And if you're into that, kind of B-rated horror movies, this is right there, and it's fun. So there you go, Choose or Die. What do you call this last section, Ryan? We just did the meat and the potatoes.
This one,
potatoes and meat. What's this? Is this dessert?
Yes!
Oh god.
what she's having. Yes, right. It is a dessert.
Our dessert. Well, Ryan, I'll just quickly go first since I already mentioned it. I've been revisiting It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I, you know, when it originally aired, I only got through like so many seasons, and then like I think I got rid of cable and stuff, so I just wasn't watching it. And now it's all on Hulu. And it's such a funny comedy, man. If you just like watching awful people
do bad.
Just be very awful and just be so dumb and go to the extremes of, or I don't even know if it's extreme slash the stupidest points of any topic and decision. Watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It just executed, and like very rarely do I think I leave an episode where like, well, that was not very good. Like they're pretty much, there's more hits than misses, I would say, with that show. And I've been cracking up with it. So It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I like to call Sunny Friends for Men with Toilet Humor. Like, it's total guy show. You know, your girl wants to watch Friends, you're going to watch Sunny. Their humor is very tailored towards their lifestyle. This one is about Cricket, who's a heroin addict in the bathroom, you know. Yeah. I this is one of those shows you can revisit anytime. When I was getting my tattoo, I had an 8-hour session. I watched 8 hours of this show. Like, I lay there with my arm up and I was watching. I got through like a season and a half and I was not mad. I was like, let's go again. Let's do it.
So, yeah, absolutely. So
I agree with you on that one. Sunny's the hell of a show to watch. Peter, you brought up fatigue. So you know what I do to kind of combat my fatigue?
What?
And it's podcasts appropriate.
Okay.
I watch sports.
Okay.
And they are, our boys, the Colorado Avalanche, are in the playoffs. And
they're already through the round one.
I know. They smoked everybody. And I just want to support the Avalanche because I have superstitions. You know, I manifested Russell Wilson into our life, into the Broncos. And I have a major superstition that if the Avs win the cup, it is the first domino to fall for a dynasty in Denver, Colorado. So next up will be the Broncos, then will be the Nuggets, then we'll be cycled back to the Avalanche, and then the Rockies will get another good player, and then we'll just continue to have it the rest of the dynasties. Rockies will always have good beer, and then we can always go watch baseball games at Rockies, but the Avalanche will continue winning championships. But that's my way of combating fatigue, because sports are fast-paced, they're in your face, and you're getting something different, and it progresses. So, yeah, dude, if you do that with but I think you're doing another good thing with watching it, like a show you can revisit any single time, because it just kind of resets your mind, and it's like, I've seen this, but I know I love it, and I can watch it all the time.
Yep. Nice. So, well, I hope you do will the Avalanche, you know, our dynasty, get that going. I can't wait for that to happen. Go Abs.
And go sports.
Go sports.
Go sports. Peter, it's great catching up with you as always. And we'll continue to do this via Zoom and till we meet again. And like I said, you touch my brother's face, and next time you can touch mine. So.
All right. Can't wait. Can't wait to see your meat mouth.
Hell yeah. I can't wait to show it to you.
And beyond it up.
Beyond it up.